But before that, chances are you've used the internet today. Whether you're at work, doing some online banking, checking social media, or perhaps downloading the latest Naked Scientist podcast, you're connected to the online world. And if you're like me, perhaps you take it for granted that you'll be able to get online tonight, tomorrow, and even next week. But over half of everyone on the globe doesn't have this luxury, and the growth of people coming online has slowed down, according to a new report, with affordability cited as a major blockage to progress. So to talk about it more, we're joined by tech guru and angel investor Peter Cowley. So Peter, how is internet access currently spread across the world, and why is internet access important?
Yes, it's spread, of course, as you'd expect, in the developed world more. To give you some idea of the numbers, something like 98% of people online in Iceland, about 85 to 90% in Australia, South Africa, US, and 75% in Japan, but only 1.2% in Eritrea. So the actual access in sub-Saharan Africa is in the low digits. And the UN expected that to get to 100% by 2020. The moment it's still under 50%. The reason that these reports came out and they were talking about this is because it's actually slowing down. So it's only something like 6% a year. So the chance of it getting to 100% inside 30, 40 years is pretty impossible. Where internet access is actually classed as somebody having access once every 3 months. So compared with us, the people in the studio, for instance, or the people listening, that's a tiny fraction.
And why is access important, though?
Well, I think we all know that as listeners to this programme, that there's all kinds of things that you can't really do nowadays without some sort of internet access, whether that's education, not all education, of course, but payments, booking tickets, etc. There is a study that actually deduced that for every 10% increase in internet access, it's linked to a 1.35% increase in GDP. So if you're turning developing countries into developed, internet access obviously contributes a tremendous amount.
Why isn't everyone online?
There are social things, certainly sub-Saharan Africa, which is being concentrated on these reports because women are not allowed to spend money on that. There's obviously a completely different dynamic between men and women in those countries. So having an asset isn't allowed. A lot of technological. The biggest issue, of course, is affordability. So the cost of putting a mobile infrastructure in place in order to give access over the wireless, because you can't have copper, you can't add copper in the ground for these sort of countries, is that there isn't enough income coming in from those users to provide that. So what happens about that? Basically, it's got to be done with some sort of aid from other countries, which then leads to issues with other countries having control over these developing countries and all the political effects of that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, what can be done? Is something happening to change all of that?
Yeah, there's assistance with things like regulation, with providing funding for submarine cables to some of these countries, etc. But there are two interesting technical projects here. One is called the Google Project Loon, which is a very thin balloon sitting above an area at about this sort of 20-kilometre point where they move around slowly but not too fast, and they transmit from the ground up to the balloons and back down again. That's one project. And then, of course, Elon Musk is doing this with SpaceX, is doing something, and he's intending to put up many thousands of moving satellites, which would float around the world at about 700 miles, 1,100 kilometres above Earth, all interconnected. So these two projects, of course, being funded at the moment by the big tech giants, but in time will be taken over. And that will make a massive difference because, you know, half the population, 3.8 billion people, are not yet connected.
So how important is universal internet access then? Does everyone need to be online, essentially?
Well, no. In fact, one of my children lives in Geneva and he's got a group of friends who refuse point blank to be online. So they have smartphones without any data access. They use just voice and text messages. If you think what's happening in terms of many things you actually need, you know, if you want to book an airline ticket with one of the cheaper carriers, you've got to have internet access. It helps with payments, particularly in developing countries, which then helps with trade. It helps with people moving, say, vegetables and fruit around the place. There's a huge number of reasons why internet access is actually beneficial. It has downsides, of course, as well, as we know with fake news.
Yeah. And so I guess very quickly, is internet access even affecting our behaviour? I know there have been things about negatively, but also positively. I imagine, like you said, if you can improve something like agriculture, then internet access would be incredibly important towards
yeah,
behaviour.
Yeah, payments, transactions, media consumption, if that matters. Social interaction, you know, for people in some places, it makes a massive difference. News, education. The downsides are addiction, which does occur, fake news, attention span being shortened, physical human interaction became less important. Is that good for the globe? Not sure it is. And of course, lack of trust. That's the big one. People are not necessarily trusting things that they meet on the internet.
It will be interesting to see how that progresses. Thank you so much. That was Peter Cowley, who is